Thank you very much for inviting me for this seminar. I will try to explain this research, which is already published, but we are still working on these two surveys that we have conducted. So the topic is about impact of immigration, specifically about remittances on poverty and inequality in a Mediterranean country like. Which is Algeria here, but we have also implemented the same survey in other Middle East and North African countries, one in Morocco and another one in Lebanon. So it's the final work will be to try to compare them. Now I'm going just to present this on the Algerian experience. And the title is To Have and Have Not. It's a title of a novel of Hemingway and a movie of Howard Hawks that I liked very much. So that's why we took this title. So just to introduce the subject, so we examine the effects of immigration on poverty. We draw two original surveys that we have conducted with a social science research team in Algeria, which name is CREAD. And these two regions have not chosen by chance, but because they are these regions have very high expatriation rate, and I will explain why. This paper so involves the impact of migrant transfers on both poverty and distribution of income, and the economic literature is very consensual about the impact on poverty, because usually you find that immigration and remittances have a positive impact on poverty, it reduces poverty, but there is no consensus about inequality. There is a very important variability of results, and this variability of results are probably due to the fact that we should, when we conduct such studies as economists, we should take care about the fact that we have to resituate the effects of remittances in the context of the history of the migration, and also in the institutional context. That's what we are trying to do here. We know that for inequality there is a sort of paradox in the economic literature. The impact of immigration and remittances on inequality is ambiguous, because you have something like a process time by time. Migration flows lead to the constitution of networks in the receiving countries, which reduces the cost of future migration and can help reduce inequality by allowing the poorest household to send migrants. So at the first step, you could have an increase in inequalities, but at the second step, you could have a decrease in inequality. So you have a sort of inverse U-shaped relation between immigration and inequality that has already been shown in other research, like this of Mackenzie and Agopar about Mexico, but also others. We collect information also in these studies, which is what is original in this study is not the topic. What is original is the context. It's the first survey about Algeria, on the Algerian case, and it's also the fact that we integrate the pensions and we distinguish between remittances from migrants workers from remittances from retired migrants. And it's very important in the case of Algeria. I will explain about that. These two regions are very high immigration rates. So I will show them on my... This is the Algerian... It's a big country, you know? And this is the region that we have studied, Tizi Ouzou, in Kabylia, in the northeast of Algeria. Just near Alger, 200 kilometers from Alger. Alger is here. And the other one is near Tlemcen, on the west of the country. And the two kinds of immigration experiences are quite different. I will just show you, this is the wilaya of Tizi Ouzou, which is, means the department, and we have studied this part of the department, and this part is rural and very enclaved region, you know, with a very high expatriation rate. immigration rate. And the other is the Wilaya, which means the Department of Tlemcen, and this is the place where we have conducted the survey. And this region is less enclaved and more urban and less and more connected to the power regimes, I will say. And on the contrary, than Kabylia, which is more also disconnected from the institutional power of Algeria, for political and historical reasons. So, just coming back in this introduction to the very quickly to the history of immigration in Algeria. Algerian immigration to France began at the end of the 19th century and the early 20th century, especially from Kabylia, this region that I told you, that, which is very enclaved, and more recently from the second region, Tlemcen. The immigration history of immigration of Algeria is very much connected to the history of colonization. French colonization meant a strong resistance in Algeria, especially in the mountainous area of Kabylie. And between 1830 and 1872, the French colonists waged a continuous war against the natives. And there was a lot of revolts in this specifically in this region against the colonization, and you had this experience of scorched earth policy by General Bugeaud, who dismantled the early industrial structure. This region was very involved in a pre-industrial process with jewelry, with ceramic, etc. And it was completely destroyed. And then after this, after 1846, you had this economic and social dismantlement of the region, and started a movement of immigration, and specifically to Alger, the center of the region, the capital of the region, and to France. And we had also, as a consequence of this this dismantlement of the Kabyle economy, an absolute decrease in the size of the population at this time. And for the second region, the Tlemcen region, you had something. So, Kabylian region is the most dependent from of remittances. It depends very much, specifically of remittance, pensions from retired immigrants who remit money to their country of origin, to Kabylie. For the second region, Tlemcen, international migration accelerated more recently, picking up after World War I, and especially after World War II, driven by labor demand from France. I would say it's a more classical emigration, driven by the demand from the metropole, who tried to attract migrants for their physical skills. So they would be selected by the big sectors of the French economy, construction, textile, mining, etc. And this region is more integrated to the domestic Algerian economy and much more concentrated to the networks of political power of the Algerian state. And Kabylia, on the other hand, has remained isolated, and its limited development is fueled by its diaspora. And this is also a region where revolts and roots still continue. The first one was in April 1980, where the first revolt has occurred. It is important to remind this kind of contextual immigration process. And as a consequence of this kind of a very old immigration, you have many older Algerian immigrants that spent all their working lives in France and receiving their pensions on returning to Algeria. And these pensions can represent a huge part of household income. And such pensions are clearly much more important in countries participating in the old waves of immigration, such as countries with colonial ties to their colonizing countries. And these old migrants remit more than the new waves of immigration. We built another survey in France And we showed in this survey that the new waves of immigration, I don't speak about the new, the second generation, but the new waves of immigration from the 90s or 2000s, remit less than the old waves of immigration. When you control for any characteristic, okay? It's because, of course, these old waves of immigration are much more attached to the country of origin than the new waves, who emigrate for more repulsive reasons than for positive reasons. Okay, so using this household data is of course critical to assessing accurately the impact of foreign transfer on poverty and inequality. You have to know that informal remittances received in Algeria are 3 times higher than official remittances. In fact, 90% of the remittances from France to Algeria are informal and are channeled by the black market premium because the exchange rate is much more interesting. It's, you have a prime of about 50% when you transfer your money by the informal channel than formal channel. Okay, so because of this lack of confidence on the institutions, banking institutions, the Algerians at 90% transfer their money using the informal channels, okay? And the paper, so it's interesting to use survey data because we can catch these informal pensions, informal transfer, with something that we could not have if we use only official data. The paper performs both semi-parametric descriptive analysis and estimates a parametric model. So I will be very, very brief about the econometric analysis. I will skip this part, but I will tell you two or three results before. As you know, when you deal with the impact of remittances on poverty and inequality, you have a huge problem of bias. Because, of course, if you don't take into account that the fact that immigrants have immigrated and represent something that we can call a lack for the production, the local production, the local income, so you can overestimate the impact of remittances on the country of origin. So you have to control for that and to simulate a contrafactual household income and calculate the impact of immigration on the distribution of income across households once built this contrafactual. And then we examine several scenarios in order to characterize a wide range of potential situations. And we decompose also the effect of remittances into the part due to remittances and which is very original here, in the part due to retired migrants' pension. A comparison of the result for the two regions is also carried out, which is interesting because we will see this problem of institutional differences inside this country. And taking into account their historical features and their differences in terms of diaspora organization. So this is, everybody knows the importance of remittances comparing to the other kind of revenue. This is remittances inflows in Maghreb, and you can see that Morocco is the one who has the higher level of remittances, and Algeria is just here, but this is official remittances. So if you take into account that 90% of remittances are not formal, you will of course reconsider these figures. What are the main findings before explaining what we did in this research? The finding is that remittances and foreign pensions do not significantly change the Gini coefficient, inequality. It doesn't change significantly inequality. Migration reduced poverty by near 16 percentage points, about 40%, and with an effect in Kabylia, so in the region in the northeast of Algeria, twice as large as Tlemcen and the other region in the west. For extreme poverty. So we distinguish two kinds of poverty. Average poverty, about under the $2 per day level, and extreme poverty under $1.255, which we call extreme poverty. Foreign transfers have a strong positive impact on very poor families in Ijor, in Kabylia. Ijor is the region in Kabylia. But much less in Nedroma, where poor families suffer from a double loss, what we call a double loss. Their migrants do not provide local income. That's what we control when we build the counterfactual, and they don't send money. And this is a very interesting topic in the Algerian culture and in the songs. If you listen to the Shaabi, the songs, which are popular songs in Algeria, all these songs are about the fact that people left their family and don't send money. So it's really a huge problem. And what is interesting is that in Kabylia, we have this problem is less important than in the other region. Why? This is the question. Of course, the main answer, the main reason is that the communities in Kabylia are more structured, and Kabylian immigrant communities overseas replicate their structures, reinforcing strong social norms in favor of remittent behavior. I mean, there is a book that has been published by Hugh Roberts at the London School of Economics. He's a professor at Boston University, and he wrote a book about what he calls the pre-colonial institutions in Kabylie, exactly. So these pre-colonial institutions has remained very, very strongly. And the local democracy, the local committee of village, which are still working in Kabylia, in Algeria, are replicated in France, so in the immigration. So the immigrants organize themselves here exactly as in the village. So they control the way that the migrants transfer or not to the country, to their family, not only to the collective community. And thirdly, these results are consistent with the finding in the literature showing an inverse U-shaped relationship between past migration and inequality. I will explain that. This is the result about the impact on inequality. But we suggest a nuanced interpretation due to the inequality-inducing effects of foreign pensions. So I will go very, very quickly on the literature review. I will explain the data. The empirical strategy will be also very brief because it's technical, and I will go to the result and to the conclusion. So the review of the literature on the impact of transfers, the economic literature, the macroeconomic literature is very ambiguous. The effects are very ambiguous, but there is both positive and negative effect. But concerning the micro effects on the micro level, at the individual level, we have a general consensus when it comes to the impact of transfers on poverty reduction. 5 to 20% among the different studies in home countries. For inequality, as I said in my introduction, you have more ambiguous impact. Inequalities rise in rural areas when migration begins and networks are underdeveloped. This is what we find in this kind of research, but it falls as migration intensifies, what we find on other studies. And it allows for a nonlinear relation between inequality and the length of the migration history, which helps to explain the results. And we have three or four studies that show that. So what is the survey consists of? It's the first survey that addresses the issue of migration and remittances in Algeria. We have 1,200 households, 600 in each region. And we use the quota method, so the surveys are not representative of the whole Algeria, but are randomly made on the localities in Cavilla and in Clemson, and representative of the region, not of the national level. We distinguish between households without migrants, households with migrants, but no, we don't receive transfer. These poor families that have this double loss, they have migrants but no transfer, no remittances. And this, the third group is the households with migrants and which receive transfers. Okay, so we distinguish these three kinds of populations. The survey data were subsequently adjusted using data from the census, the Algerian census, which is very well done. Many things are very bad in Algeria, but the census is very good. I don't know why, but it's really the true. So after calibration, we obtained 6,700 households and 31,800 people from Nedroma, and 1,800 households and about 7,000 people from the other region in Kabylie, Algeria, Egypt. And the characteristics of household members in Algeria include return migrants to Algeria receiving that person, include illegal migrants, which is interesting, and include also all kind of channel of transfers, not only the official or unofficial, but all kind of them. So this is the comparison between the census in red, population census, and the survey in red for each variable you use. Okay, for example, here for owning a vehicle, or owning an automotive car, a television, etc., telephone line, electricity, the number of rooms, etc. For the constructing the income of the household, we need to have all these variables and to compare them between the census and the survey. And we can see that it is very convergent. So just some descriptive statistics. This country is very bizarre because you have many incomes. Like in any countries, you have incomes from work, so wages, but we have also incomes from pensions of mujahideen, which is an income which can be very, very important in some families. So the former mujahideen from during the Algeria war against the French colonization continue to receive money. Because they are quite young, finally, because it was a very recent story. But their children and their family continue to receive money, to receive pensions. So you have to take into account the fact that some households receive this money, and you have 2% of households that have these pensions with no migration. More with migration. It's interesting to see that if you can have migrants, you can also have a pension. So this is due to the fact that they have more money to export immigrants in certain sense. So what you can see is that the total household revenue is higher, of course, in the family that receive transfers, okay, then so 700,000 dinar, Algerian dinar, than in the family without transfer, without migrants, only 455,000. Okay, so this is quite a double. When you have migrants and transfers, you receive much more. You have a higher income. This is naturally the bias that I spoke about, because of course, if you add the pensions directly, the remittances directly to the income, you have a higher income. But you have to take into account that the fact that these immigrants are not production factors for the households in the country of origin. Again, if you look at the households' foreign retirement, because we distinguish between local retirement pensions and pensions coming from abroad, from the migrants, retired migrants, okay? You can see that, again, you have more money when you are from family who have no migrants than family who have migrants, okay? which is normal. We look at all these characteristics, household size, the age, and you can see that the proportion of people who with an age over 65 years is much more important in the family who have migrants than in the family who have not migrants, okay? Education in years also is much more important in the family who with migrants than in the family without migrants. We constructed an index of physical capital, and then we can show that here it is a bit more important for families that have migrants and receive transfers. The number of children is quite similar, about 3. This is the rate of local unemployment, and this is the percentage of local migration. The fact we know if the immigration has been financed by family or not. So this is important to look at the obligation or not to remit money.
Can I just ask you?
Yeah, of course.
So you break down the total household income into these separate components. They add up basically to the total income.
Yeah.
The foreign retirement flow comes from retirees in the diaspora, so outside.
In France,
certainly.
Yeah, they receive their, the story is this one. These migrants immigrated in the 60s, late 70s. So they are completely unskilled. They work in automotive sector, construction, etc. Their pension is about 600 euros. So it's less than the level of poverty in France. But they are allowed to transfer this money to their country of origin. So they have two kinds of choice. You can stay in France and transfer them their pension using the informal channels like the other migrants, or returning and receiving their pensions by coming back just at the moment that they want to receive this money and then they go back to the country of origin. Okay? So even if they continue to live here, they transfer completely their pensions. But many of them, 80% of them, return because this immigration from the 60s was mainly an immigration of men, not a family immigration. So their family remained in Kabylie or in Tlemcen. So they had to return to the country of origin. So take this 600 euro. If you convert them into the exchange rate, informal exchange rate, you obtain, you multiply 600 by 150, so it is something like 6,000 or 8,000, 800,000 euro, okay, dinar, Algerian, and it's about 5 times the minimum wage level of Algeria. So this is a huge impact on the level of income in the country of origin. I don't know if I'm
So actually the retirees, they live back in Algeria but still receive the French pension.
Exactly,
formally.
Exactly, this is a law in France. Okay. This is an agreement between France and the countries that have sent immigrants, specifically the world. And it's very important because you will see the result about the pensions. It's really important. Other precision questions now about the data?
We made 10 minutes almost.
So the empirical method. You have to take into account two important phenomena. Migrants no longer contribute to domestic source income to their households, and the individuals who immigrate are not randomly chosen among households, so we have to correct for bias, selection bias. So I will be very brief about that. We use very traditional techniques, Yipman's techniques, to eliminate the bias in parameters, and we use a strategy that is used in the literature. We have detailed information on each household, and we built a counterfactual scenario in which migrants are assigned the productivity of individuals with the same characteristic but who stayed in Algeria. So we reintegrate the migrants as if they have not immigrated, okay? So, which is very important to avoid this this bias. We add pensions, and we insist on this focus on this question of pensions later. We consider income from local sources separately from the working age population. We estimate all models at the individual level. And for the working age population, a pair of selection corrected earnings equation is estimated. We have two kinds of integration on the labor market in Algeria. You can be self-employed, so you can build your own activity, or you can work on the labor market, for the formal labor market, and having wage earnings. And for the earlier selection corrected model, will be receiving a local pension against receiving pension from the immigration. Okay, so everything is corrected here. So we have three income equation estimation at the individual level for self-employment, for work earnings, and for local pension. We build counterfactuals step by step. We predict values that are generated for each model. Then the same variables were calculated in the counterfactual scenario without migration. We reference expected household income to calculate by summing all transfers received and all predicted labor earning. And then the fourth step is to consist of building these counterfactuals, household income, and we have two kind of hypotheses. This is also very original because usually the studies don't take into account a full recalculation effect. They just reintegrate the migrants' revenue in the counterfactual scenario and they add them to the income of the household, but they don't take into account that the fact that you reintegrate these migrants will have an impact on the other revenues of the member of the household. So that's what we do here by taking into account a full regression approach by estimating the impact of the fact that you have not immigrated on the revenue of the other member of the household that have never immigrated. Instead of just having an hypothesis and hypothesis that there is no impact. And we have three average scenarios. One is an average scenario with the local employment structure. The probability of a returning migrant being a wage employee is assumed to be the same as the observed share of wage employees for individuals of the same sex and education level in the same region. The low scenario is when the whole income comes from working in the formal sector because the wages are very low, okay? So it's higher, you earn much more money when you are self-employed than when you are employees, okay? So this is two scenarios that are polar. This one is a low scenario and this one is a high scenario. If you imagine that all the people are working as self-employed, you won't have the same impact of remittances on poverty than if you just have the low scenario or the average scenario. And the fifth step is to build these counterfactual sector scenarios by taking observed household labor income, subtracting expected reference household income, and adding expected counterfactual household income by changing total observed household income by the difference in expected households between the counterfactual and reference setting. So just we will go to the results and we will see the with the different scenarios. In fact, we have a positive and significant impact of transfers on reducing poverty. The proportion of poor households is very much lower when with migration than without migration. 16 points higher in the counterfactual income distribution without migration. So you can see it here. Here is the counterfactual household income. 15% of households at the level of poverty, okay? And the observed poverty, extreme poverty, is only 60.8. So this is a huge difference between the observed with migration and the counterfactual. This is the scenario with the average. This is the second scenario with the low scenario. If you remember, everybody is working in the labor market, the formal labor market, with earning wages. 23% of poverty instead of 6%, 8%. And the third scenario, the high scenario, everybody is working as self-employed. Then you have only 10% of in the counterfactual of poverty, extreme poverty, in fact, and 6%, 6% observed. So if you take normal poverty, $2, you have 19% observed poverty against 35% with the counterfactual, 42 second counterfactual and 27 in the other counterfactual. So this is a very important and consensual results. Remittances and immigration reduces poverty and extreme poverty. There is a difference between the two regions that are interested to look at. Take extreme poverty under $1.25, okay? This is very important. You have still, with migration, in Roma, in Tlemcen, 7.9% of people that are extremely poor, okay? And against 15%, 24%, or 11% in the counterfactual scenario. And if you compare that to Kabylie, Iger, you have only 2% of people receiving, of course, this is the result with observed income, against 10% in the average scenario, 16% in the low scenario, and 6% in the high scenario. So this is very interesting to look at this difference in terms of extreme poverty for the two regions. So the extreme poverty, in fact, this result is due to the fact that in Nedroma, in Tlemcen, in the region, people have more risk of a double loss, lost domestic revenue combined with a relatively frequent absence of remittances to offset the loss. And this is totally due to the fact that in the case of Tlemcen, there is no control of remittances from the institutions in diaspora, instead of Kabylie, where in immigration diaspora you have this control of remittances. And so, despite the fact that this region, the Arabic one from the west, is more integrated to the local economy, to the national economy, than the other one, this is due to the fact that the institutions matter very much. And this is, finally, I have 2 minutes. Just finish about inequality. So this is the main result is about extreme poverty. This is the regional result, because this one is consensual. This is what we find in the literature. But this one is really interesting. Now about inequality. So what we find is that we have a low impact on inequalities. We use two indexes, Gini index and Tail index. I don't know if you are familiar with these indexes. This one just take into account the distribution the importance of the poor, for example, or the very rich, and this one less. So we complete, these two indexes are complementary. So what we show is that we have an increase in inequalities in Kabylia. However, foreign pensions, which are a huge component of household income in Kabylia specifically, because the retired remit more, are received by households in the upper part of the distribution. So there is a rise in the tail index, in the inequality index, okay? In addition to reducing extreme poverty by allowing for remittances to reach the lower tail of the distribution, migration makes some middle-income households wealthier by providing them with foreign pensions, which are a large amount than remittances. So, in fact, you have something which is interesting, which is that this paradoxal impact on inequalities. On the one hand, remittances, the pensions from retired, increase inequalities between households. On the other hand, remittances from workers for the new wave of immigration reduces inequality. So that's why you have this nonlinear impact on inequalities. It is because you have two kinds of income that is transferred. And usually in the literature we don't distinguish between retired pensions and remittances from workers. And that's why we can add something new about this non-linear effect of immigration remittances on inequality. So to conclude, transfers help reduce the numbers of people living below the $2 day poverty by more than 40% when poverty rates falling from 35% to 19%. The impact will be lessened if better local job opportunities, that's what we are also in the paper, I think you can read the paper also to complete your... the impact will be lessened if better local job opportunities were made available, but the lower bound estimate presented here still finds a reduction in poverty due to migration of 35%. This problem of people suffering from a double loss is frequent in the regions is less frequent in the regions with a structured diaspora, Kabylie. And there is a vast importance of foreign pensions among transfers to these Algerian regions when migration has a long history. So such pensions from migration are a higher value than remittances and play a major role in reducing poverty. And there is a concern in Algeria about the dependence of this kind of transfer for the future, especially in Kabylia, where older retired migrants tend to remit more than the new wave of generation. Or these people are going to die, and the new waves remit less. As this region is completely dependent from remittances, there will be a shock in the future, like the public, the decision political authorities have to deal with. And there is a risk of a huge reduction in transfer incomes for poorer households that would be irreplaceable by local sources of income. About inequality, our results about rural regions in Algeria are consistent with those of Mackenzie and Rapoport, who provide empirical evidence of inverse U-shaped relationship between inequality and migration. Both of the Algerian Sandine regions studied here seem to be near the top of the inverse U-shaped relation between immigration networks and inequalities. And in Kabylia particularly, the inequalities increasing effects of foreign pensions are partly offset, that's what I was telling before, by the inequality reducing effects of remittances from overseas world, over networks. So this is the main results of this research, and I will stop there.
Thank you.